It's such a great and wonderful. There's no description that would match the majesty of God. He's so wonderful to me, so glorious, and He loves a people that's really undeserving, but He felt that we were deserving because He called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light of His grace and give us a sweet hope of eternal glory. And we're so thankful for the precious gift of the darling Son that came into the world, took up on our sins and put them in the land of forgiveness, never to be remembered against no more forever. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's just so much in this book that, to be said, but I'm not capable of doing what I would like to do, but if the Lord leads me, I'm going to talk about the same thing, the good old story of Jesus and Him crucified and Him arisen in Christ. He's a risen Savior. He's not dead and never was dead. He went to the cross and they killed Him, and He went to that grave, but the Lord, Father of Heaven, I will not leave my anointed one to suffer corruption. And He is the only one in the Bible I find that didn't suffer corruption. And certainly you and I don't suffer corruption. But one day we'll be raised incorruptible. We'll be made like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be complete. I'm looking for that complete whole life that I'll have with the Lord Jesus in heaven. I'll be clean and I'll be free from sin.
Amen.
And this old body is always going to have sin in it until the end of time with us comes death. But we know that God has the power to resurrect this body.
Yes,
and reunite it with that soul and spirit that He's given you in this time. In due time, He died for the ungodly. At one time, we were ungodly. We were without hope, without God in the world. But thanks be unto our glorious Father, He sent His Son to redeem us out from under the bondage of law and under the bondage of sin and under the bondage of death. Death is the last enemy that we're going to conquer. And certainly the Lord's already conquered all that. He's our elder brother. He's our Savior. And He's our Savior today, and He'll always be our Savior. And He loved us with such a great love. And I want to talk about some of His promises and hear a little bit and tell you that your faith is something that is great. That's just a great gift. Grace is the greatest gift you'll ever have. Grace has brought us to here this morning. Grace has given us substantial evidence that God is our Savior. And that's by grace ye are saved. Ye are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Thank God it's His gift.
Amen.
I can't give you anything. You can receive some words from me that of the Holy Spirit, but it's God doing the preaching. It's not me. I can't preach. I've never been able to preach. But I know that God has lifted me up from time to time that I can say a few words that might be edifying to you. But you got to do your part on the other end. You've got to have a hearing ear and an understanding heart. And the only one that gives you that is God. He gives you that spirit. And if you're here this morning to receive a message from Brother Jim, you look to the Lord because He's the one that's got the message. I don't have a message. I'm infirmed, as the song says. I'm a lowly being in the sight of God, but He makes us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that I don't have the opportunity to accept Him. He didn't offer accept to me, but I'm glad that He accepted me in His precious Son, because if He hadn't, I wouldn't have had no desire to be with you today. I wouldn't have had any inkling to be in the house of God. But thanks be unto God, He quickened me by His Holy Spirit and brought me into the banqueting house, and His banner over me is love. In the fifth chapter of Romans, we have these words talking about faith and the promises and the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. And the first chapter there, verse of the fifth chapter says, therefore. That means it's a positive statement. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you've been justified by faith? Aren't you glad you're here this morning in the service of God rather than be out in the world for the pleasures of the world? We know that we are have two natures, and we know that we have a natural nature that needs feeding, the natural food. But we also have that spiritual nature that needs feeding from the Word of God. And this is the Word of God. This is His holy Word. This is penned down for you and I that we might enjoy the sweet fellowship of the Spirit this morning. And we've been enjoyed the song service so much. It was beautiful singing this morning. It's been all that way this weekend. You just don't want it to ever end. But we know that we have to go back to our places of abode. We have our homes to go to, and we have our families and different things. But don't let that hinder you coming to church, because, you know, that's the first and foremost thing you should have in mind, is coming to the kingdom of God. And it's not this building. It's this kingdom that you bring into this building. This is the temple of God. He created us in His image, and He gave us a sweet hope in our breast and made us new creatures in Christ before we ever existed. That was His plan and His will to do that. And certainly you and I are here because of what God's done for us, not what we can do for Him. But we to do for each other what God has led us to do, and that's to love each other and comfort one another with these words. Of the Spirit, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and if you do, you're going to have comfort in this world. But if you are the type of person that can't love, it's not God's fault, because God loves you first, and you should be able to love your neighbor. But you know, in our nature, we can't. We have to be spiritually born. We have to have that Spirit in our heart and our soul in order that we can love. We love our family a lot different than we do our church family. There's a lot of difference in that. I can't describe the difference, but you just can't describe the love you have for God's children. Right. We're all God's children by nature. We're children of wrath, even as others, but in the glorious presence of God and His Spirit, we're His children. He called us out of that darkness that I was talking about into the marvelous light. We're here today. We're not children of the darkness. We're children of the light. So therefore, we can see the glory of God in the Scripture here, where He tells us we have this faith. And He said, by whom we have access, by faith, and to this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Don't you rejoice this morning because you have a hope? Somebody said, if I didn't had all I had was a hope, I'd be miserable. I would too. But I do have a hope. But I have a hope beyond this life. Amen. But I also have a hope here today that the Lord will bless me to live long enough and enjoy all of this sweet fellowship that I've enjoyed this weekend. I've had my soul filled up. I've had my soul lifted up, my life lifted up this weekend, because I'm with a people that believe in a God that has all power. He's not a weak God. We serve in a strong God. Amen. A God that has all power. He lifts us up out of the miry clay. He puts our feet upon the solid ground. Even establish our going. Holy and reverent is His name. Amen. Certainly He's to be reverenced. And you and I are also to think on the things of God every day, not just at church. We need to have our mindset on things above. It says to set your affection on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, interceding for you and I as we travel through this low ground of sin and sorrow. He's making intercession. He's pleading our case before the Father today. Father, I love them. You gave them me. And they're yours and they're mine. And they're all ours. And we're all in this thing. And certainly we are to let our light shine that others might see our good works and glorify our Father which are in heaven. Now He's to get the glory. And we're to do the good works while we're here. And that's to serve Him. And we're here today to serve Him in truth and in spirit. He said, not only so, but we glory. Now listen, we glory in tribulation. How can that be? How can that be? But we feel and know that we're depraved. We were totally depraved. And without Him, we're nothing. Right. And less than nothing. But He called us out of that darkness in this light. He quickened us in divine life and made us new creatures. We're not old creatures anymore. We're not dead sinners anymore. We're live sinners. We've been quickened into life by the gracious mercy and grace of God. He's given us a sweet hope beyond this veil of tears. We have a hope here in this life as Paul did. But Paul said, if in this life only I had hope, I'd be of all men most miserable. We have a great apostle in Paul. He was sent to the Gentiles, and you know his experience. We read about it all the time, and we have experiences similar to his. When the Lord gets a hold of us, we know that there's a change coming, certainly, and that change is to turn us to the things of God instead of the things of the world. And when we turn to the things of God and put Him first and foremost in our life, all of these gracious blessings will be added to us. We'll have joy and peace just for a little while. We see here, through an eye of faith, we see Jesus Christ, that He's a Spirit. But we see Him in all of His majesty through the gospel that's preached to us. What a wonderful and great God we have, and a merciful God that lifted us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, our author and finisher of our faith. And certainly, He's a God of patience, He's a God of love, and He's a God of hope. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Don't you want to be patient and wait on the Lord and not try to get ahead of Him? Sure you do. You want to be humble as you can before God and show what good things the Lord has blessed you with, and share the love of God with your people wherever they are, and tell them you love them. It's not a shame to tell nobody you love them. And we don't do that very often. Sometimes some people don't, and I don't do it enough. But certainly we all need to think about that, that God is love. And certainly He loved you better than anything in this world. You were precious to Him, precious in His sight, or the death of the saints. He is a wonderful God, and hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We didn't accept it. It was given. It's a gift. I can't accept the Lord because He didn't offer Himself to me. He offered Himself to the Father. Amen. In my room and in my stead. He gave Himself. And for that reason, He paid the redemption price. We heard about the redemption yesterday and heard about all of that, but He's justified us. And one day He will be glorified and be lacking. But all these things in between we can enjoy while we live in this world. This gospel that we preach to you is not an eternal salvation. It's a salvation in time. It's a coming salvation. It's the love of God. It's the teaching of the preaching of Jesus Christ when He come into the world. He called His disciples out of the as fishermen and hunters. They were fishers and hunters of men. And He told them exactly what to do. And He taught them every word that He knew and preached to them and give them the oracles of faith and gave them all that they needed to go out in the world and preach the gospel. And brothers and sisters, it's not no easy task. I tremble because I know I'm not capable. But I know that the Lord's capable. That's the main thing. I know that He's able. Amen. I'm willing, but He's got to be able to do, put that in me to be where that I can speak in His name. Amen. And He says, that because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That's something that's given. And certainly we have that in our life. He said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And it says, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what He was sent for. He was sent in the world by the Father to die for sinners. And Paul said He was the chiefest of sinners. I believe you and I feel the same way this morning, that we're the chiefest of sinners. We feel so unworthy. And I used to use that excuse that I was unworthy, but God makes me worthy. God is worthy, and I'm worthy because He is. But I thought I wasn't fit for the kingdom of God. But if I'd have waited, I was worthy, I'd never be in the kingdom of God. You've got to make an effort. When God calls you out, don't rebel like I have in times past, and I know you have too, because you lose a blessing. You lose a blessing when you rebel. But God knows your heart, and He lifts you up and gives you strength and gives you hope while you travel in this low ground of sin and sorrow. He says, but God commended His love towards us, and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood. We've been justified by His blood. We don't have to worry about that anymore. He died once and for all for the ones that He called out of that state that they were in and redeemed them and gave them to the Father, gave them to the Son to redeem us out from under the bondage. He brought us all the way back to Christ. He paid the redemption price. Somebody says, we're free. You know, we're free indeed. But, you know, it really cost our Savior a price, didn't it?
It
cost His precious life. Amen. But you know, He done it for joy. He loved the people so much until He laid down His life for them. He said, they didn't take my life. I laid it down. He's our elder brother. He's our all in all. What can we say that's, you know, you don't already know how great God is? We sing that song, How Great Thou Art.
Yes.
That's a beautiful message right there, a beautiful thought. How great Thou art. We can't even compare Him to any humankind, because there's no way to do it, because He's a Spirit and He's holy and He's just our Savior. He's perfect, in other words, what I'm trying to say. And one day we'll be perfect in His sight and we'll be with Him. And that's what I'm trying to say today, that we know that in this life we're not going to be perfect, but we're going to have a perfect life beyond this life. And that we look forward to, but we're not in no hurry to die and go to the grave. But we want to, as long as we live, with every breath within us, we need to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm so thankful to be a part of the family of God. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that's come today to hear the good news from a far country. It's from another source. It's from heaven's pure world. This gospel came down from heaven through the Son of Jesus Christ. He came and preached His everlasting gospel. It's handed down to you and me through the merits of His Son, and it's given to us to rejoice in the love of God and enjoy the fellowship of each and every one that's a part of it. And we're all part of Christ. We're part of that vine. We're the branches. We've been grafted into the vine. And if we're in the vine, we're safe, brothers and sisters. We cannot fall out of Christ. Somebody says you can fall from salvation. Yeah, you can lose the joy of it, but you can't fall out of that salvation, because once saved, you're always saved eternally. There's no falling out. But they are in this time. We can turn away from the things of God, and we can fall from grace, and we can walk away from the church. I don't know how we do it when we have grace in our heart, but we have a nature that causes us to do those things, and certainly we don't like doing that. And we have doubts sometimes, and we have problems with our brothers in the church, and I wish it wasn't that way, but sometimes that old natural man just wants to deceive that spiritual man, and certainly it's a warfare, and we have to fight it every day. We have to fight this flesh and lay hold on to what is really true and good to us, and that's Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. He said, but He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. What is wrath? That's the damnation of this body. That's the damnation of this world. That's the wrath that God allows His people to suffer because of the fact that they are sinners, because we're in our natural realm. But He doesn't put anything on us that we can't stand. He says, I will not put anything on you that you can't bear. He'll give you the will to bear your burdens. And we need to bear one another's burdens. Not only our own burdens, but we need to testify to each other that we love each other and that we want to be your friend and all that. We need to do all of that. But we fall short, Brother Gary, of telling our brother how much we appreciate him. And I appreciate you so much. I've got to know you over the years, but you're always welcome, everybody, with loving arms. And that makes me happy to be here today, because I have somebody has something in common with me. And you know, this common salvation is good, isn't it? It certainly is. It's a gospel salvation. It's something that we all need. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and let our light shine that others might see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And He says, we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We were saved by His life. He gave His life for us. He saved us when He died on the cross. And they've multiplied millions as the sands of the sea. We don't know who all they are, but we can see the evidence of a child of God. I can't. The more I talk to people and I see the love of the people, I can know that they surely that's a child of God because he knows God.
Amen.
God has manifested his spirit in him. And when you see somebody, lads, you can't help but love them because God loves you. And not only so, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. Brothers, if it wouldn't have been for that atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would have been lost.
Amen.
Certainly would have been lost without hope, without God in the world. We were that way at one time when the Jews had the oracles and had the law and all of that. The law didn't condemn us, but certainly it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And certainly the law made us recognize we were sinners. And the Father sent the Son to redeem us out from under the curse of the law. And he did that job. He completed the job. He didn't destroy the law, but he just simply fulfilled the law. Come and fulfill it to a jot and a tittle. For you and I, that we might understand the law could not bring us to God, but it took the precious blood of the Savior to die on the cross to bring us to God. And we're here today because of what he's done, not what we've done. Nothing good have I done. Paul says, when I would do good, evil is present. And that I would do, I do not. And that I would do, I do not. So we know that I would do, I do not. But we know that we are sinners by nature, we're sinners by practice, and we're going to sin and come short of the glory of God. And then the 12th verse is talking about our natural father, our federal head. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Amen.
It says, for until the law, sin was not in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. And who is that figure? That's Jesus Christ. He came, and we are all made in his likeness, and we're given a sweet hope. He's a blessed God, and he loved his people with an everlasting love. And we're so grateful this morning to be a part of the family of God. I know that we do things that the Lord's not pleased with. We try hard and sometimes we fail. But God will never fail. He'll never fail. He's a complete God. And one day you'll be complete. Just remember that. You'll be lacking one day. You'll be complete. You won't have to worry about anything. While you live here, you got a conscience and you're going to worry about things because you're going to worry about your brother or sister. What the goodwill, and you need to worry about it. You know, our own worst enemy is ourselves. We just don't do what we ought to do. We don't do what we ought to do. So we need to wake up. It's high time and be patient with the Lord. You know, when he told the children when they were murmuring there at the Red Sea, Moses said, put his rod up and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He delivered them. He delivers you and me today, and he'll always deliver us. He's going to always be our God and our Father, and we're going to always going to be his child. Y'all pray for me and you pray for each other that the Lord will continue to bless our denomination of people, the Old Line Baptist, that he'll bless them to be here. His church is going to be here. It's going to be in this earth as long as time will be as we know it. But God, they're just dwindling away. And there are not new ones coming in. It really troubles my soul, but I shouldn't worry about it because I know that God would add to his kingdom such as need saving. And he will. And I don't doubt that. I don't want to doubt my Father, my Heavenly Father, because I know he has all power to do his will. And all these things that's going on in the world, the calamities we're having with the other governments and all that, and the threats and everything, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what's happening. Now, I'm glad he knows that because he's going to intervene somewhere and take care of his children. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll protect you forever. And so we've got to realize that he's there as our protection. He's going to be with us wherever we are, and he's going to stay with us wherever we stay. Thank you for your kind attention. Pray for me.
Sing a verse.